It's time for Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. And now, here's your host, Rob Hernandez.
And we welcome you into Erin Hills and the 80th U.S. Women's Open Championship. I'm Rob Hernandez. Pleased to be joined by Gary D'Amato as we're standing here on the eve of the U.S. Women's Open. A little gray, a little rainy, a little windy, a little bit of Wisconsin in spring, Gary D'Amato.
A little terrible, you might say. That wraps it up in one word, yeah. Hoping for better weather. It looks like it's going to be here by the weekend, 70s and sunny. So can't wait to get back here in a couple days and watch these women tackle this course in great conditions.
For the championship to unfold the way, I guess, we want it to unfold as a championship, you know, it's nice to have sunshine. It's nice to have good conditions, but you also want challenging conditions.
Right.
You've covered a number of USGA championships on this property. What, in your mind, would create the best championship here this week?
Yeah, that's a good question. Undoubtedly wind, Rob, as we look out here and there's not a tree in sight anywhere, so there's nothing to block the wind here. You know, we didn't get wind at the 2017 U.S. Open for men until Sunday, the final round, and you know, the players blitzed the course pretty good. But, you know, if the wind blows this weekend and if it, you know, stays dry and a little sunny and the greens firm up, the fairways firm up, and the wind blows a little bit, I think this is going to be a much tougher test than the one the men faced in 2017.
And, of course, the weather in Wisconsin changes daily.
Hourly.
Right now, on paper, it says 5 to 10 on Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. But 15 to 20, maybe 10 to 20 on Friday, which is, you know, cut day. So that brings in the dynamic that you have golfers that start in the morning tomorrow will be playing in the afternoon on Friday when it could be at its worst. How does that play out in a championship like this? And is one day of that kind of wind enough to really kind of impact the championship?
You know, I heard Brandon Chambly say on Golf Channel that he didn't think that was enough wind to really, you know, change this course, the dynamics and how to play it. But I think 10 to 15 miles an hour is a pretty good wind on this course, just because it's so firm. And as Mike Wan came in, the CEO of the USGA, the other day in the interview room, and he pointed out a really good point that, you know, when you hit a shot and the ball's in the air, you don't quit talking to it until it stops rolling, because
right.
There's a lot of rollout here and the green surrounds are cut down, shaved down, so the ball can end up, you know, you can hit a pretty good shot and the ball can end up pretty far from where you intended it to. So the wind plays a major role here, and 15 to 20 is pretty good.
We're going to talk about who we like, who to look for, that kind of thing, but one more question about the golf course in relation to that. It's going to be one of the longer setups in U.S. Women's Open history at just short of, what, 6,800 yards.
Yeah.
Where does that kind of, you know, bring certain players into play? And, you know, we thought that it was going to, you know, factor out the short hitters in 17 with the men's U.S. Open, but Brian Harman was right there near the end. I guess, how do you look at this length for this tournament and the people playing in it?
Yeah, it always helps to be long, right? I mean, no matter how long the course is, whether it's 6,200 for the women or 6,800 or vice versa for the men, 6,700 or 7,500, it always helps to be long. But it always, you have to keep it in play. Now, the fairways are pretty generous here, but, you know, you want to be in the right part of the fairway.
Right.
I think angles are really important here coming into greens. And I think the shorter hitter definitely can play well here. If she can manage her game around the greens.
All right, we're going to compare notes. We haven't compared them before starting the podcast this afternoon, so it'll be interesting for me to see who you favor. We're going to start with the favorite. That's the easiest one. You know, on the LPGA Tour, we were talking with Dan Hicks on a teleconference the other day, and, you know, someone said six guys may be able to legitimately contend at Oakmont next month at the men's U.S. Open. When your world number one is at like 17 in the race of the CME Globe, it tells me that you've got more than 15 favorites that could emerge here. Who is your favorite, Gary D'Amato?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Rob, I wrote a piece for Wisconsin.Golf that'll post late tonight or early tomorrow morning on 10 players who could win, and I had a hard time cutting it down. I mean, I could easily pick 20 or 25 who could win this championship. But I guess I'd go with the form chart, Rob, and pick Nelly Korda, you know, ranked number one in the world. She leads the LPGA Tour in scoring average, 68.89. She's sixth in driving distance, almost 280 yards average drive. She has not won the U.S. Women's Open. This is one she really wants to get, and so I'm going to make her my top pick. How about you?
Well, and again, we didn't compare notes beforehand, but even beforehand, I would pick Gina Titikul. She's currently ranked first in the race, the CME Globe. Six top 10 finishes and eight starts this year. And she played with Nelly Korda down at the Ford Championship when I hung out there for a day and had a chance to follow that group for a couple holes. Gino is from, I believe, Thailand, and just really at ease with where she's at in the game. And as I look at her and I look at Nelly, you know, Nelly never really shows, you know, you don't know whether she's won, you know, six championships or six titles in a row, or whether she's, you know, still searching for her first win like she is this year. But yet at the same time, I can't get a good read on her. With Gino, she just seems so relaxed. And, you know, again, another one that hasn't won this championship, but I think she's on the precipice of maybe doing so. I can't wait to see how she handles the stage here this week at Erin Hills.
Yeah, and she's only 22 years old, and you would say, well, that's maybe too young. She doesn't have enough experience, but a lot of young women have won this U.S. Open title in the last 10 to 12 years. So I would definitely agree, Rob, she would be in the running. Maybe not my number one, but I definitely pick her to be in contention.
Gino Titikul will play with Lilia Vu and Ro Zhang starting off at 7:51 a.m. tomorrow. Gary's pick, Nelly Korda, will have an afternoon tea time in a very, I guess, a group that a lot of people are going to follow, because it also includes Charlie Hull, very, you would call her a fan favorite, and I think she'll play well to the Wisconsin crowd. And Lexi Thompson, the semi-retired Lexi Thompson, who is also, someone here who, you know, would desperately love a U.S. Women's Open, but is also kind of in a semi-retirement. She is the Gary D'Amato of this tournament. She's in a semi-retired mode, right?
Well, she's a little more accomplished than I am. We'll start with that. But yeah, you know, I watched Lexi hit balls at the PGA merchandise show last year, not this year, but I mean, she just pounds the ball. Yeah. She's very long, and she still has a lot of game, and she's definitely motivated to win this after a couple of heartbreaks and close calls.
She's got that Arnold Palmer-like swing.
She does.
I like it. It really, you know, and again, I hope you always want to get to a place in life where you feel good about what you're doing. And again, she hasn't played as much. She's in kind of a reduced schedule type situation. And who knows? This may be the year. It'll be a great group to follow.
Yeah.
So we will follow our favorites there. Gary, your dark horse in this 80th U.S. Women's Open.
Maybe some people might not consider her dark horse, but I'm going with Jennifer Kupcho, whose, you know, professional career has been good, but it hasn't really matched yet what she did as an amateur, winning the NCAA Division I title and then winning the inaugural Women's Augusta National Women's Amateur. So she had a great amateur career, and she's got a local on the bay, right, Rob?
Right.
You wrote about it, Joshua Udelhofen, who played very well in a state amateur here back 10 years ago and knows this course inside and out. So I'm going with her as my dark horse.
All right. I'm going to go with Lynn Grant. Lynn's from, you know, played a lot of years on the Ladies European Tour, and she is a long striker of the golf ball. And she can, I think, be a factor out here. I looked at the long hitters, and like the men's tour, you need more than just distance to handle this. But she's won, you know, on different stages across the world. And I wasn't sure that was a good pick because, you know, I went back and looked at her record. She had four missed cuts in a row going to last week's event down in Mexico and finished T4. So maybe not quite in form, but I look at this golf course, Gary, and when I watch her, you know, she's one of those women that you would see a lot on the early coverage of LET events, you know, on Golf Channel. And again, you know, very athletic, you know, great striker of the golf ball, and someone who I think, you know, could be a factor out here but isn't yet. It's probably I bet you my dark horse would be a little bit darker than yours.
Yeah, I would think so, yeah, probably.
but, you know, again, she's someone that I think has great athletic ability, and on this golf course could possibly contend, especially if it's, you know, today I think she'd love to play out there, you know, because this is more like LET weather. But
yes.
But you know, I say keep an eye on her, all right, as my dark horse. Now,
right,
we're also going to pick someone to watch, you know, which is somewhat like a dark horse, but it could be someone that, you know, maybe won't even contend. It could be someone that, you know, is worth seeing now, because maybe in 5 or 10 years you're going to say, I saw her at Erin Hills.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily think about that in my pick. Who do you have as kind of that one person, if you had to go out there and watch, just to kind of see what she's all about?
Yeah, you know, I went over four or five names, and then the one that really jumped out at me, Rob, was Yani Tseng. We saw her come in for her pre-championship news conference. She's just a delight. She hasn't played in the U.S. Women's Open in 9 years. She hasn't won in 14 years. But, I mean, she was a great, great player in her prime. She's had some physical issues. She's had some technical issues with her swing. She's had some mental issues. I mean, she has got the yips, and she's putting left-handed. But if people want to see a great, great player who might not be in her prime anymore but just has the pedigree, an unbelievable pedigree, come out and watch Yani Tseng.
Yeah, I think, I saw her in the field at the qualifier in Arizona, and I was following Zoe Grinowitz from Milwaukee and from DSHA, and Zoe finished up and Yani was finishing, and we didn't really know who was going to get in, into that position for that second spot. And all of a sudden, there she is, and then there's a playoff, and it's dark, and I've been there all day, and I'm going, well, do I follow or not? And I decided to follow, and hadn't seen her, putt the ball. I'd seen her hit a few shots because she played right behind Zoe's group, and it's dark, the sun's settling in the distance, and she has a 5-footer to go on, and I go, my goodness, if this goes in, what a great story that'll be. Just for her to be able to, and I didn't know at the time, and while we were walking back to the clubhouse, looked it up, that it was 2016 she last played in this. But the appreciation in her voice when we talk after that qualifying, if she wins the career Grand Slam, at least, our version of it, the four that have been on the longest. And she's a 5-time major championship winner. I think stories like that are really cool, especially at, age 36 now?
Yeah.
And so that was cool. Yeah, she's 36, and she had to walk 36 down in Arizona, yeah. So that was something else. You get those. I was going to say keep an eye on Esther Henslett. It's another woman that I followed at the Ford Championship. And she's someone who... has made 7 of 9 cuts this year, 2 top 10s, 19th on the race to CME Globe. And again, much like Lynn Grant, although much younger, Esther is someone that probably will at some point, contend and contend often. Although, 7 top 10 or 2 top 10s this year, she's been in that position. I think more to your way of choosing this one to watch, Astra's tally and the young women that are in this tournament right now, I think I counted 12 teenage golfers, and she's 16. I think there's 3 or 4 of 16-year-olds in here. She was in the media room, and she was runner-up at the U.S. Women's Am and the U.S. Girls Junior to Ryan Malixi, who's also in this championship and is just a couple years older than Asterisk. I think it tells you where this game is headed. And I'll be writing about that tonight and posting to, just how much different the youth of women's golf has become. It used to be a novelty. Lexi Thompson, this is her 19th U.S. Women's Open at the age of 30. And, she qualified every year even after she started at age 12. Lucy Lee qualified at age 11. Yeah. And, it was a novel thing that they qualified, but now, these women who qualify for a U.S. Women's Open are going back to their amateur circuit and just dominating. And they may be a factor here. I mean, Astra's Tally was low amateur last year co-low amateur with 2 other women at T44, at age 15. I mean, that's pretty good stuff.
And she won the USGA four ball with her partner, so she was in the finals, three USGA finals last year. I mean, that's not the same thing as the U.S. Women's Open, but that's invaluable experience for a young player. And to your point, Rob, 30 years ago, you never would have seen a 15-year-old girl in the U.S. Women's Amateur. And now it's not all that uncommon. You don't raise your eyebrows like, wow, how did she get in? Just like they've got great resumes and pedigrees at that age. And it's fun to watch these young girls come along and do the things they're doing.
And if you watch the NCAA championships last week for women, I mean, the shot making there it was just incredible. The drama was great. And a lot of those women aren't even playing here this week because, they didn't make through the qualifiers. I guess in their defense, I mean, you've got qualifiers going on during the second half of your college season. But, the depth of women's golf means that there were some people that didn't get here, which means the ones that are here are going to make for a very great championship, I think. Is there anything in closing, Gary, that you are looking forward to as the week unfolds and how Aaron Hills will play and how this championship will play out?
Yeah, I'm really interested. I'm always interested in the scoring at U.S. Opens. And, my feeling is that Brooks Koepka blitzed this place in 2017, 16 under 272. I don't think we're going to see anything close to that kind of scoring. I just have a feeling that that par is going to be just a really good score this week and that the winner is going to be, 4 or 5 under. So I'm looking forward to that. I'd be surprised if it went deeper than 10 under.
One of the women that was on the live from coverage that's being played here in the media center mentioned that this course was already getting firm and fast before the rain fell today.
Yeah.
And it won't take much for this place to dry out. No. And they know how to get it that way. Zach Reineking does a wonderful job. He's been here since the start, and he's got a wonderful group of both staff here and volunteers from all over the country. How do you anticipate the staff here at the USGA handling this course to get the result they want? Because they didn't get it in 17.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think they learned a lot. They've had four championships here now, the U.S. Women's Public Links, which is no longer, the U.S. Amateur, the U.S. Mid-Am, and the U.S. Open. So I think they've learned an awful lot about this course from those four championships. And, they converted the fairways, Rob, in 2020, I believe, from fescue to bent grass.
Right.
So it's a different course than the one that was played, for instance, for the U.S. Men's Open. So, Zach Reineking does a great job, and he's got, some of the best maintenance professionals in the country here helping him this week.
In layman's terms, doing that conversion from fescue to bent grass, fescue absorbs the water a little bit more, and it has to because in some places they don't mow fescue. And they don't. So bent grass, though, is maintained. It's like a lot of the fine courses here in the upper Midwest. It's our native grass, if you were to call it that. And is that what makes gives them the opportunity to really work with this golf course?
I think so. You can cut bent grass a little shorter than you can cut fescue. And, if it doesn't rain, that course can get really, the turf can get really firm. There's a lot of sand under it. They sand capped all these fairways.
Mm-hmm.
So it drains well. So, yeah, I think, you're going to see balls that start out in the middle of the fairways, but maybe have some hook or slice spin on them, finishing in a fescue. And that's one of the mental challenges that these women are going to have to face this week.
Well, we've been doing this for a long, long time, Gary, and I don't know about you, but I'm really looking forward to this. It's, again, we remember what it was like in 1998 when the women first came to the state for the U.S. Women's Open at Black Wolf Run and Kohler, and what a history-making event that was. I think there's some history that at a very important time in women's sports and women's golf can be made here. I can't wait to see how the venue will help produce that.
Yeah, likewise. We've had two great women's opens at Black Wolf Run. Now Aaron Hills gets his shot. Might be the last time we'll see the women in here for a bit, and they're the best players in the world. I just hope we get a great gallery out here on the weekend and these women get the support they deserve.
Well, we'll have coverage throughout the weekend here on Wisconsin.golf. Any questions about tickets, tee times, whatever it is, just go to our site, Wisconsin.golf. We've got a live from banner across the top over the coverage that we'll have each day here at the U.S. Women's Open. Gary, thanks for the time, and we'll do this again maybe at the end of the tournament.
Sounds good, Rob. Thank you.
All right. For Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez, this has been Talking.golf on Wisconsin.golf.